everybody there?
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry,
who wants to take a roll
call?
Just
a second while the recording starts.
Sure.
Louise won't be a minute.
This conference is now being recorded.
Thank you very much, Louise. Good morning, good afternoon, everyone. On today's call, we have Ray Fassett, Tony Holmes. From staff, we have Julie Hedlund, Rob Hogarth, Linda Saint-Géry, and Gisela Gruber-White, myself. And we have apologies from Ron Andruff. Thank you.
Great, thank you. This is Ray. I'll just start off with a little bit of housekeeping. I did not send out a real formal agenda prior to this. A little housekeeping is it would be helpful if we could communicate to ICANN for the preparation of the Seoul meeting, whether we need to have an in-person meeting or want to have an in-person meeting as part of Seoul. So we should consider that. Obviously, there's still the plan to seat the new council as part of the Seoul meeting. If we were to have a meeting there, it would be on the Saturday or Sunday prior to the start of the meeting on Monday. So let's consider that. I'm thinking we probably will want to schedule an hour slot.
I would agree with that, Ray. I think whatever happens, whether the council is seated or not, we need to pencil in that time. It's always easier to cancel than to rearrange later, so we should do that.
Yes, and thinking back to Sydney, I recall that Saturday was just an impossible day. Part of what we're going to do here is get a little ahead of the game and claim out our space, if you will. But what will happen is all these other conflicts will arise, as normally happens, and I'm afraid our work team may, you know, be the odd man out in our time slot. So I'm thinking Sunday might be better than Saturday. Tony, you know, your experience on these weekend meetings is more than mine. What do you think?
I think it would certainly be easier on Sunday. As regards scheduling, I wonder whether it's possible for Glenn to comment on this, because the way it was working last time, there were many conflicts right across the whole Saturday and Sunday. It would be far better if it was possible to say there's a couple of hours across the day when these working groups could actually meet. I'm sure we're not going to be the only ones who need to meet, and I don't know whether any thought's been given to that, Glenn, or whether you could actually feed that in to the preparation discussions.
Yes, Tony, that's exactly why I sent out the note that I did to the chairs, is so that we can try and feed this into the discussions right away early. And the idea to have these meetings on Sunday, so that, because there are, of course, meetings that can overlap. We've got rooms, two rooms, as we had in Sydney. But I do know that everyone wants to keep Sunday afternoon eventually for the two house meetings.
Mm. Okay.
Right.
So Sunday morning is what would be what we're looking at then.
Yes, that's it. And Sunday morning is getting full.
Right.
How long would you need? 2 hours?
I'm not going to claim 2 hours. I think an hour would be sufficient.
Okay. I'll pencil in an hour and a half. Thanks, Ray.
Did you say you only have two rooms to get all the groups in, Glenn?
Yes. Although there is a little bit of a question on the schedule, I see actually they put three rooms down for us. And if it's true, I might take the three rooms, Tony.
Yes, I think that would be wise.
Yes.
One of the things that worries me, it isn't just with this group, it's through dialogue with some of the other working group chairs as well. I think there's some concern that the participation levels have dropped away on a number of these groups, and I think a lot of people use the face-to-face sessions as a way of re-engaging and catching up, so I would assume there would be quite a lot of pressure on rooms.
Okay, thank you very much, Tony.
Okay.
Ray, this is Julie. Can I make a note? I know that Chuck Gomes, I think, is planning on trying to hold a meeting of the Operation Steering Committee Sunday afternoon. And so then, you know, if we did have our meeting in the morning on Sunday, then we would have, you know, something perhaps to report into that meeting in the afternoon. And I don't know whether or not he'll want the the chairs of the various work teams to attend as well.
Great, great. That's good to know. Yes, so definitely Sunday morning would be to our advantage.
Okay, I assume from that, Julie, as Tony, that Chuck is also working closely with Avery, because it sounds as though they both have different plans now for Sunday afternoon already.
I hope that that's the case. I don't know that for sure, but I would expect.
Okay. If they're not coordinating, there's no chance for the rest of us, I suppose.
Yes, there are.
Okay, so the next bit of housekeeping I would like to suggest is, and Tony, since you're on the call with me, are you available next Wednesday to have another call, teleconference?
I'll just do a quick check. I think the answer is yes, I am right.
Okay, I would like to call then, you know, this is going to be two of us, a meeting for next Wednesday, and potentially try to make this weekly for whoever can attend, so that in the month of August we can really knock out this rules of procedure document, which I think we have the chance now to do based on the work Julie has done to get us in that position.
Yes, I would agree, Ray. hopefully that there should be at least one addition. I assume Ron would be back. I'm not sure when Wolf Ulrich returns. But we are in the same situation as so many of these other groups, where we're really struggling, I think, to engage with the required folks across the rest of the GNSO.
Right, right. Now, with that said, at the end of the day, what our work product will go to the OSC, and I'm not clear what the OSC does from there, whether they look at our work and the work of other work teams independently on their own, or whether they go and try to get feedback, broader feedback on some of the things. I'm not sure. Does anybody know what happens at that stage of the OSC?
I can say what my understanding was, but Rob may wish to comment on that. I felt that the output from these groups would be fed into the OSC, and there would be then some broader discussion. If there's any overlap or any contradiction, that's where that discussion would take place. I didn't think there was going to be any broader search for input other than discussions at the OSC. Mm-hmm. And what comes out of all of the groups is a coordinated approach, and that was really the role of the OSC. But that was my interpretation, and Rob is probably a better place than I am to comment on that.
No, I think this is Rob. Tony, your recollection is spot on. The expectation was that the work teams would make their recommendations, they would be reviewed by the steering committee, and then the recommendation in whatever form would then be passed on to the council. And it's really up to you guys, you're a member of the steering committee, Tony, as to, you know, how elaborate those discussions are, or how you guys want to proceed when you receive the recommendations.
Thanks. One of the concerns I have with this process, Rob, is, if I'm honest, is I think with the engagement that is lacking to some degree, and it isn't just in this group, it's quite hard for the OSC to push forward and get anything to the council in front of the meeting in Seoul. So I don't know what other time frame the other groups are working to. But at some stage, there has to be some considerable level of discussion and real debate, I would think, in the OSC. That cannot occur until the working groups have completed their work.
Yeah.
That's going to happen before Seoul, I don't really understand.
Yeah, that's a real challenge. I mean, the steering committees are tasked with that general management and oversight and coordination of the work team efforts, and it may be a discussion that needs to take place at the OSC, the Operating Steering Committee level. There may be a value in Chuck, as the chair, calling for a brief meeting of that group or some email exchange where you guys look at the timetable between now and Seoul and, you know, communicate to the work teams. You know, I realize that's somewhat of a fiction since you have a hat in both rings, but, you know, communicate to the work teams what needs to be done by when, so that the steering committee can conduct its deliberations and pass on its recommendations to the council. I'd also note, because I've looked at it in the last couple of days, that you'll recall that the original implementation plan that developed this entire structure anticipates that the council must proactively decide to renew the charters of the steering committees and the work teams in Seoul. So that's going to be a part of this calculus as well. All your guys' feedback about participation, how things have gone, where things are going, what's been accomplished and what still needs to be done after Seoul.
Right, yeah, this is Ray. That's my understanding too. Our primary deliverable, as I understand it right now, is this rules of procedure document, as we know. And that, of course, does not cover the whole depth and breadth, though, of what the BGC had in mind for our particular work team. So it appears to me, the way I've seen it, is that our work team will not necessarily discontinue at Seoul. We just have some things that need to be done for Seoul in order to seat the new council, but then these other things that are under our venue would still need to carry on. That work would carry on until such time as felt completed.
Yeah, and that obviously will be a council-level decision. They may acknowledge that those decisions still have to be made and make a determination whether this is the right venue to do it in. I think a lot of that decision-making will depend upon how productive the teams have been and what their work product looks like.
Right, I agree. Okay, so with that said, I think the last housekeeping thing I wanted to mention was, the document that we sent around, it has been sent around to each of the constituencies. There has been feedback that has come back. I'm calling the GNSO structure document. There has been some feedback already on the registry's constituency call I had today, which is, I'm a member of, obviously. There were a lot of questions about it. Some from a position of, definitely confusion, okay, and even one step further than confusion. So I addressed those as best I could to the registry constituency members and encouraged them to provide their feedback by response to the Julie's email address.
Great, and Ray, this is Rob. What your timetable for that in terms of responses was 3 weeks, I believe. Is that what the work team discussed after you circulated it? So that's the timetable for responses?
Yes. I mean, that's basically it. I did not put that in the instructions. I probably should have. But, yeah, that's as a work team, we're looking at 3 weeks to see what we get back.
What is the closing date for that then, Ray? Can you remember offhand?
What we had would have to have been revised because it didn't go out on the original date. So
that's right.
So it went out on here on the 23rd, I believe, right? The 23rd or 30th?
I think it maybe went out on the
30th. Yeah, okay, so the 30th.
I've just started getting comments.
Yeah, so the 30th, right. So the 30th, so 3 weeks from there. I guess technically it would be the 21st, although when Steve Metellus did ask me that question, I told him the 14th. But
okay. Well, certainly from the ISPs, we're also putting back a response as well. That was one of the reasons I was checking. But I think the response that will be produced from the ISPs, it's going to be along similar lines to some of the other comments that have already come in. I don't think we can discuss this until that period's ended, Ray, and also feel that it would be not appropriate to really have any formal discussion around that without having Ron on the call with us either.
Oh, I agree. That was just a housekeeping item to update for the record that the document has been sent and there has been feedback already.
And thanks to Julie for circulating those. In advance, I think that's helpful if we could get to see them as they come through.
And I do have another one that I just got today and haven't had a chance to send on. I forget who it's from, but I'll send it off after this.
Thanks.
Okay. So let's, if we could, let's move right into the document that Julie sent over today, which is the rules of procedure, where it has now been updated, specifically outlining those areas that are covered by the new bylaws that I noticed the board has did not yet approve in their most recent meeting, correct?
That's correct. There were amendments that, additional amendments that have been sent out for public comment, and those went out on Monday of this week, on the 4th, 3rd, pardon me.
Okay. Now, nonetheless, I'll make the assumption for us that even so, those amendments are not going to affect the areas that we think here right now is what we need to tackle.
That's correct.
Okay. So, with that said, now I did not have a lot of time to look at these parts today. I'm probably guessing Tony has not either.
That's correct.
Yeah. So this is another reason why I think we can start. We need to start moving into weekly calls. Chuck Gomes, I do want to mention, did send me, and I was just briefly trying to find it real quick, what looks like a timetable for us to be working within, given the fact that there needs to be review of what we do as a work team ahead of time before, you know, we get to October Soul meeting. So he gave me that kind of rundown. I will find that, and I will send that to the list for us to be mindful of.
That would be very helpful, Ray.
Yeah. He kind of re-engineered it backwards, and it definitely was helpful. I'll find that.
Ray, I was wondering if it might be helpful if I just gave a little bit of an overview mm-hmm. of the document.
Yeah, that would be great. Please, go ahead.
You'll notice as you're looking through it that there really are a large number of sections that now are handled in the bylaws. And the way I've dealt with it in the document that you've received is that, for one thing, the document is marked up, it's redlined, so you can see the changes from the original procedures. And I have indicated the various sections of the bylaws that apply in the different sections of the procedures. Ultimately, when this is, you know, a completed document, what we'll probably have is the actual bylaws as an appendix to the document, and then live links within the document so that if you go, say, to Section 1, Description and Organization, and that is language that is in the bylaws, then you would click on that link and it would go to the language that's, you know, in the appendix. What we're trying to avoid, and this is something that Rob and Ken Bauer and I have discussed, is not to duplicate language that's in the bylaws in the operating procedures. There are a number of good reasons for that. Probably the best is that we really don't want any confusion over where this official language appears. If it's in the bylaws, then it's only in the bylaws and we reference it. But for the purpose of this work team, anything that is indicated as see ICANN bylaws, Article X, you know, et cetera, that's something that this work team does not have to address. So that will be the first thing to look for as you're going through the document. And then what I did was I highlighted in yellow those sections that this work team does need to deal with. And so as you scan through, you would see that, for instance, we have addressed already in this team sections 3.5 and 3.6, quorum and votes. Those are highlighted because those are things that we need to address, but we've done them, so we don't have to do that. But then, like, the next section that we would need to deal with would be Section 4, GNSO Council Chair. Because while there is language in the bylaws, some general language about selecting the GNSO Council Chair, the bylaws specifically states that the actual selection process will be detailed in the operating procedures. And so that's probably one of the next things that you know, that we would need to look at. And the rest of Section 4 also is something that we would address, except for the rest of Section 4, and then Section 5 as well, pretty much all of Section 5, except for Section 5.4, the number of votes cast is something that's dealt with in the bylaws, in Article 10 of the bylaws. So I've highlighted these various sections. As we look through the document, may find, and I haven't made any sort of suggested language changes that I think would be helpful for this work team to consider, and by no means are these things that the work team has to accept, but just sort of to get us started in the in discussion. But the you'll find particularly sections in, you know, language in Section 4, language in Section 5, much of this language is something that probably does not need to be changed, in that it's you know, the process is working well now. It's all very straightforward, you know. Do you take meeting minutes? You know, when do you distribute them? That sort of thing. I think as we go through, we may decide, the work team may decide that, you know, these are things that don't need to be changed. And then you'll see that there are very large section, the whole section that deals with policy right now is handled in, there are references to Annex A in the bylaws, which is the GNSO policy development process. There are work teams under the PPSC, the PDP work team, and the working group work team that are dealing with aspects of the policy process, and they have not made any specific recommendations. They're still working through various things, so none of that is reflected here. And I think that it's envisioned that this work team will try to get as much done as possible of the things that have to be done preceding the new council, but there may be additional changes to the rules and procedures that may happen after Seoul. And Rob, obviously jump in here and correct me if I'm wrong about any of this.
As a point, I did have a conversation with Chuck Gomes, the chair of the OSC, specific to that question of areas such as 6, GNSO policy development process. If those were not completed by Seoul, would that impact the ability to seat the council? His opinion and guidance to us was no, it would not.
Thanks. That's helpful. But so you'll see also then, as you scan through Section 16, comes after the whole, all of the sections relating to policy process, and that's on the GNSO council email votes. And again, I think, you know, this is an area that we do have to address in this work team, and it may need only minor changes, but it is something that we'll want to have, I think, ready to go. And I don't think that that should be terribly difficult. As you'll note, it seems to be fairly straightforward. Rob, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Thanks, Julie. No, I don't think so. I think the real key is just you guys being comfortable with setting up a process where you think you can move things along with the rest of the team. I think, Julie, you and Ray have discussed this a little bit in terms of trying to provide you guys with the tools that you need, and that's really the purpose of the document, to give you guys something to work on, providing the information that really focuses the discussions. I think the heartening aspect is that it's not as daunting a task as we may have originally suspected it was, and I think, Julie, you've done a great job sort of highlighting those areas that require attention. But it might be a useful plan just to even go through literally section by section, just so at the very least you can, you know, just put a check. Yes, we confirm we don't need to do this. So that you can then spend some significant time on those areas that do require the conversation.
Yeah, I think that's a great suggestion, Rob. I was thinking the same way.
Just one comment, if I can.
Yeah.
I think the approach that Julie outlined is great, having the appropriate text in one place. I'm sure as things move forward, that's going to be absolutely critical, not just for this group, but for all of the other working groups. So I'm pleased to hear that they adopt the same structure. What I would suggest is that there is some boilerplate text added to the front of all the documents that actually describes that that's the approach that's going to be adopted. So in other words, when you start to read the details of the document, you're already aware that that's the situation. And if we could add that to all of the different working groups at the start of their documents, then I think it would be quite helpful.
Tony, I think that's an excellent suggestion, and I can certainly do that. You know, with this particular document, and I think that I think that any way we can make it as clear as possible what the structure of the document is, and keeping in mind too that when these procedures are complete, yes, they will be online, and people will be able to use, you know, hypertext links to scan through the document, but people will want to print it as well, and it will be a printed document. So we, you know, need to make sure that any explanatory material is very, you know, it's very clear both in, you know, the electronic form and the printed form.
Okay, thanks.
Well, I might suggest that we go ahead and start looking at these sections one by one. Tony, what do you think?
Yes, I'm okay with that. I'm not quite sure how far we get with anything else today, right?
Right. That's exactly right. So now, to Rob's point, maybe we could sort of tab those that are probably require further discussion versus those that do not. So I think we would start with 4, GNSO chair.
Ray, yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt, but you know, Rob and I were talking a little bit about this, and I think GNSO council chair is probably perhaps the most, not difficult, but you know, the one that probably needs the most discussion.
No, that's exactly the point of today, though.
The reason I'm saying this, though, is because if we might want to hold it to when we have more people on the call, because I'm sure that it's something that, you know, others will want to weigh in on.
Yeah, we're saying the same thing. What I mean, and sorry if I wasn't clear, is to look at the sessions and say, okay, this one likely requires more work, and this one doesn't.
I see. I jumped.
That's okay. Sorry, I wasn't clear.
But
you did it, though, for us, so thank you. So let's just go ahead and knock that one down. The GNSO chair is one that is, you know, is more complicated than is not. You know, I'm not sure what terms to use. Okay, so then, you know, we would then move now to 4.2. Right?
Well, before we go there,
yeah.
Ray, I had a question before that on section
3.5
on the quorum.
Sure. Uh-huh.
I mean, what it says there is absolutely true, but are we not at some stage going to insert some figures in there as to the numbers? Because it should be pretty static at some stage what the voting number is on the council. So isn't this the place that we would have that level of detail as well? I mean, at the moment it just says that it's the majority of voting members. But at some stage, we can put a figure on that. Is that the intention?
Hmm. Well, I think the question comes to mind is, if the bylaws someday eventually change that define that.
But the reason I ask that is because I can see us getting into a situation where whenever we call, someone will be saying to Glenn, what's the quorum?
Right, and Glenn will need to...
She'll need to know where to get the information.
Right. You know, I'm not sure. That's a very good question. Rob, do you have a sense of this?
I think you guys can play this either way. You know, by not having a number, one could argue that it's flexible, stands the test of time, and you know, is applicable whether it's 10 members of the council or 50. On the other end of the spectrum, there may be some value in having specific numbers And it's just a matter of the Secretariat being aware that there are specific numbers in the operating procedures that have to be modified if the bylaws are changed. I think in either case, once this document is finalized, Glenn will have a worksheet. I'm not sure what tools you use now, Glenn, where, you know, you'll have that calculus in front of you. As you know very well, Tony, based on some of the discussions about voting thresholds and the rest, several of the voting calculations will become very complicated, and Glenn will literally need a spreadsheet for the meetings to be able to quickly advise counselors, yes, this has passed, or no, it hasn't. Just because we've got, you know, majorities of houses or 75% of one house and a majority in another house, and so those thresholds in and of themselves will have an additional layer of complexity. So the bottom line, or at least my input, is you guys could go either way on this.
Well, that really says everything I was trying to say, Rob, because I'm aware even today from being on council that I feel very often, all of us, we have a question where we're unsure of thresholds and voting procedures and quorums, and we always say the same thing, and that is we turn and ask the question to Glenn. Now, how she deals with that obviously should be whatever works best for Glenn, but somewhere or the other there needs to be a list of the thresholds and what is a quorum in terms of definitive numbers. So maybe that's something we should ask Glenn, what she would be happy with doing. Does she want it put into this document in terms of numbers, or does she intend to tackle it through her own spreadsheet or references in some other way?
Tony, this is Glenn. If you ask me, I think that that would be something that we should have that is publicly published somewhere so that everybody has a reference to it. And I think we should get a mathematician to work out those numbers for us, because I don't think it's rocket science. I just think it takes somebody to sit down and work out the different numbers on your table.
Yeah, so we need a definitive list somewhere or the other. It's just a matter of where we do that and how we do it.
I think, yes, I think that would be. I think it must be publicly available.
As the only mathematician on the call, I agree with everything that Glenn said, right up to the point where she said a mathematician.
Is that Eric?
Yeah.
Well, welcome, Eric.
Hi.
Thank you for joining.
Eric, can't you do it?
I think that was a no.
I think you volunteered.
Ray, this is Rob. I think Tony raises an excellent point that as you go through some of these discussions, you may identify additional operating procedures that don't fit into any of these categories yet. And, you know, Tony's suggestion would actually be something that fits in record keeping or something where it sounds as if there's a very good concept and idea of making sure that council members have access to, you know, the charts or whatever the tools are that can help them understand ahead of time what votes are necessary to pass certain things. And something in the operating procedures that calls upon the Secretariat to produce that on whatever basis, an annual basis, or that every councilor gets this as part of their package of tools that they use as GNSO counselors might be something you want to think about incorporating into this, because that's the type of process and action, I think, that you'd like to have documented.
Okay. Julie, did you make a note of that as a work team item for us?
Yes, and actually there is a record-keeping section that we'll
come
on, and we can make sure to see where it fits in at that point.
Okay. You see anything else with 3.5 or 3.6 at this time, Tony?
No, that was the only point I had to make. Thanks.
Okay. That's a good one. Thanks. So, okay, so we identified Section 4. Tony, I'm really going to rely on you on a lot of this stuff because of your experience here. I'm really glad you're on the call. And Eric, of course, please speak up on anything, given your experience in many years in ICANN. So, you know, Section 4.2, you know, to me it just reads very, you know, face value. A retiring chair will not be eligible for re-election for a period of 1 year. Do we see a lot of discussion here on that particular one?
It's something that we've discussed in the past. I think this is the general consensus that we've come to. The problem with doing this online, Ray, is that, like you, I'm reading through this for the first time.
Yeah.
And what appears to be okay may want a second read later, but I don't see any problems with that.
All right. So let's have two camps here. We have the more challenging camp, and we have the likely less challenging camp. So we have, you know, section 4.1, we're putting in the more challenging camp, right? And I just say let's put 4.2 in the less challenging camp. Is that fair?
Yep.
All right, so 4.3 meeting schedules. Can we just take a moment to look at this? And again, Eric, feel free to speak up. Do we see this as a more challenging aspect or less challenging?
I think this is less challenging for us. It's more challenging for Glenn, but in general it's less. So it goes in that camp.
Eric, you okay with that? I agree. We lost Eric. Okay. Let's go to Section 5, Conduct of Council Meetings. Now we have 5.1, except as provided by Paragraph 6.
I'm still here, and
okay.
That was easy.
Okay. All right. Any thoughts on 5.1? I don't have to read it. And then we can take a minute.
It looks fine, right, for me.
All right. So you think a less challenging area?
Mm-hmm.
All right, now what I'm going to suggest here is when we're done is that we're going to take the less challenging areas and dive into them in more detail in next week's call. And Eric, in case you missed it, because of the sense of urgency on this particular document for our work team, we're going to move to a weekly schedule so that we can try and make this a deliverable by the end of August. All right, 5.2, Notice of Meetings. It appears to me that's probably a less challenging one.
Sorry for the delay. I was unmuted. Yes, I understood we're going to weekly calls, and you're going to have a call next week with George, is it? Oh, in any event, I understand the urgency of this particular document.
Yes. So if you can join us, that would be great.
Yeah, fine.
Okay. So, okay, 5.2, Notice of Meetings. I already put that into the less challenging camp. Any objection?
Agree.
Okay. All right. On to 5.3. All actions or votes of the Genius Hall Council are taken or cast only by the members of the Genius Hall Council and not persons who are not members. Okay.
I think with that one, Ray,
again,
it would be worthwhile maybe just making a note that at some stage I think it would be worthwhile having a reference out to the place wherever the information that we discussed earlier that's going to be done by the mathematician is residing. We'd probably need to put a hook in there.
Okay.
Ray, I didn't hear anything in that language about a proxy.
I think proxy's coming up down.
This section says only those. It restricts the universe of voters to those who are on the council, which doesn't provide a mechanism for council members to designate an exception to this rule in this particular rule. So if the proxy reference is external, we don't know if it applies to this section or not.
There is, Eric, a proxy reference later on, and I think that maybe that's a good point that we need to make reference to it, to that section. In the same way that Tony has recommended that we make reference to the records keeping section where we're talking about tracking what is a quorum.
Right. I just want the exception, if it exists, to not be unlinkable to this particular section where there may be the requirement, the need for the exercise of the exception at some point in time.
Yeah, and it does exist, actually, and I can make a reference here to that section.
Okay, I'll go back on mute.
Thanks.
And actually, not to skip too far ahead, but when I look at 5.8 proxies, it did jump out at me that it's blank underneath.
Well, let me look at that.
Oh, no, no, never mind. I'm reading it wrong. My mistake. Never mind. That's what I get for jumping ahead.
Okay.
All right, so.
I did, in this next paragraph on 5.3, I did pull some language from the quorum section above. Members representing a majority of representatives from each house shall constitute a quorum for the transaction of business. Just a note.
Mm-hmm. I might put this one into the other camp, the more challenging camp.
So noted. I'll encapsulate this, by the way, Ray, in summary to this meeting.
I think it needs some discussion, so you should certainly do that. Support that.
Yeah. All right. Now, Section 5.4 looks like a mixture as regards to the number of votes cast. There are some references to the bylaws, and then there are some areas that are highlighted. Well, my first look at that tells me that this is going to be a more challenging area.
Agree.
Okay. Let's put that one there. 5.5 minutes. Now, in that case, I think we can agree that's probably not going to be as challenging. Then there's 5.5A, procedures.
Ray, this is Rob. Just to understand the breakdown here, it seems to me that in breaking up the challenging versus the not-so-challenging, you may even be able to bifurcate your efforts and potentially do the challenging ones on your in-person discussions during the calls and otherwise handle the non-challenging ones via email or some other methodology. Just a thought.
Yeah, that would work well. We haven't been too successful on the email exchanges, I have to admit. But yeah, that's a very good thought. I mean, my thinking, just so you know, was we would spend next week's call. What I was thinking was that we would spend it on the less challenging items and just try to knock them all out if we could. But you're right, though. The more we can get done through email exchange on the low-bearing fruit, definitely the better off we'll be. I'll try and encourage that.
And Ray, in that vein, I can, as I send the action items out from today's meeting, I can set the action to have members review this document prior to next week's call, and in particular to review the less challenging sections with a view to perhaps simply agreeing to them if people are comfortable, as we go through them next week, but I'll call them out so that people are focusing on those, and perhaps it'll go a little faster.
Okay, that's great. Thanks. Now, 5.5A procedure. Is there any thoughts on this one?
And I should note that it's the procedure that pertains to the circulation of the draft minutes of the meeting,
mm-hmm.
Perhaps a little bit unclear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
I think maybe we could tidy that up a little bit, right? So probably, I don't say it's difficult, but I think maybe we need a little more discussion around that.
I'm with you on that one, Tony. Okay. 5.6, speaking at meetings. I took a read through this. It seemed to make logical sense to me, as is. So, in other words, I didn't see it to be an overly challenging area. But, Tony, given your experience in the council, what do you think?
No, it's pretty much the way I think it works, and it seems to work fine. So, no problems with that.
Okay. 5.7, seating. Again, seems straightforward, and it works. Agree?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I think 5.8 and 5.81, proxies, and and 5.82. I mean, basically the entire section 5.8 is going to be a little challenging. Do we agree?
Yes, I agree.
So, put that there. That pretty much takes care of a lot of, all the way up to 6. So there we have, you know, just a general rough consensus split out of these sections under our purview. That work?
Now, there is actually, there's
there
another
more?
Section.
This is section 16.
Oops. Oh, okay.
Right, sorry, not done yet, Ray.
All right, Genius Hill Council email votes. Okay, again, that's going to be challenging.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. 16. All right, anything else I missed? No?
That's it.
Okay, so... Yeah, let's definitely take Rob's advice on that one, which is great advice. But you know, what can we do in terms of, you know, email exchange? I think what we need to do is go back to each one of those we've now labeled as easier than not than challenging. And you know, are there any that are as is? I mean, can we just that basically require no change whatsoever? There's bound to be a couple of those that we would agree works and there's no change required.
Yeah, Ray, I think you're right there. And I think that, you know, we probably just need to have people either assent to that on email or, you know, on the call, you know, next week. And, you know, and for those who may not be on the call next week, we could simply say, you know, for those on the call, we've decided that these sections don't need to be changed. You know, send that out, you know, to the rest of the team as a follow-on item from next week's call, perhaps, and then say, you know, if anybody has a, you know, an issue with this, let us know. But otherwise, we'll assume that they're accepted as is.
Okay. So what I might do here is look at these sections we've marked easier, because now we're looking to split them up between not only easier, they're done.
Right.
And what I will do is I'll put out there in an email form my opinion. My opinion that this section is completed. I'll quote the section in the email, and we can see if everyone agrees. All we need is for one person to say no. I think we need to discuss this, and that's all we need.
Yeah. Just a question on that, Ray.
Sure.
I'm aware on the calls it's quite often those of us on here today, plus Ron. And Wolf Ulrich, but how much wider is the full list for the group? How many people are on the list who don't show on the calls?
Well, this is the first meeting. I haven't had our own little wiki page open.
I can bring that up for you. Hold on first.
Because what goes in from here to the OSC, it really should have the support of the group. And one of the things we could actually do is underline the fact that this is their final opportunity to comment on those sections. Otherwise, they're going to go forward as agreed from this group, and they're part of that group.
Yeah, well, they're all on the email list. Let's think about that for a minute, procedurally.
I just wondered how extensive it was. I can't remember the full list, but...
Well, I think what we would do is we would eventually reach a point of compiling the entire final draft of this document of the rules of procedures document that would be headed up to the OSC, and we would have a last call, I suppose, on the document.
I'd be pretty disappointed if people came back on those areas that we've identified early on as pretty stable, and then they suddenly say they have a problem with that.
Yeah, that's a good point. That would be a little late, wouldn't it?
Yes. Fair enough on the tricky parts, so some of that takes some discussion. But on these parts, I think most of us are agreeing there shouldn't be any later changes. Mm-hmm. So it'd be good if we could get them to sign up to that now.
One thing we've done in other constituencies is note those who are participants during the lifetime of the task or working group or project, so that the surprise objections at the end are... somewhat socially discouraged. You know, I just went through this at the IETF where a whole bunch of people said, oh, I haven't read the documents. This is about IDNA. I haven't read the documents, but I have the following objections or the following profound thoughts. And that's not very useful. It's not helpful. And if we can get early good responses from the team, that's good. And if we can discourage late and not terribly contributory responses, that would be good also.
I think you're thinking along the same lines as I had exactly, Eric.
So do we need some rules of engagement here? Are you suggesting I might send out an email to the group that says, you know, moving forward, we will begin approving certain sections of the rules of procedures that have been identified, that we've identified as under our purview?
Well, my proposal, I think, was similar to Eric's in a way that if we're getting to the stage where we think some of this text is now pretty stable, we should at least notify all of them that this is their chance to actually comment on those sections. Otherwise, they're going to be deemed to be agreed whilst we work on the other more difficult parts. If they want to engage, they should engage now.
So are you suggesting something to the effect of a notice on our email list that says we are looking at these particular sections? We, you know, our expectation is for you to engage on these sections at this time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're done with sections 5, 2, 3, 4, 7, and 17. Speak now or forever hold your peace. We've got other things which are harder for us to do ahead of us, and we don't want to come back and revisit these.
Oh, okay, that's a little different. So you're saying after we get done, we announce to the list that we feel we are done with these areas. If you have any opinion on them, please let us know at this time. Which is different than what I said. I said we are working on, we are now beginning to work and complete these sections. If you want to participate, this is the time.
I do both.
Do both. Okay.
Yeah. Shoot first and then shoot last.
Okay. All right. I think that should come from me rather than from Julie. Do we agree?
Ray, I think you're absolutely right. And I just wanted to let you all know, so the list of team members I have that's on our wiki site is Ron Andruff, Eric Bruner-Williams, Ray Fassett, Robin Gross, Tony Holmes, Yoav Karen, Wolf Ulrich Knobin, and Ken Stubbs.
Okay. Now, as I inferred in an email I sent earlier, I had a terrible email crash, and anybody who's gone through that knows the pain I've been in the last few days. Is there a chance, Julie, you could send me the email addresses again of those people? I know I had them.
I'll do them right away for you, Ray.
Thank you. Okay, so that's an action item for me, and Julie will put that on her follow-up email of action items, right, to do. Okay, so we're actually approaching the hour now. Is there any other business that anyone would like to discuss? If not, I will recommend to adjourn the call. We'll follow up with on Julie's action items, and you know, I feel comfortable we have a way forward. And again, I also want to thank Julie for her efforts in getting this together for us.
Well, thank you, Ray. And like I said, I'm sorry I didn't get it out sooner, but I needed to see the sort of the latest version of the bylaws.
Well, I think you got it out in the nick of time, and we were
exactly.
able. And
that's this, what matters, right?
That's right. And this call became productive as a result. So thank you.
And you're welcome.
Ray, before we go,
yes.
Reading through the responses, starting with George Kirkos, I was struck by the non-responsiveness of the comment or the off-topic. Material within the response. We're not really asking anyone's thoughts on how many seats there are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, as a point of order, what we decided on before you joined onto the call is it's not appropriate for us to yet deliberate on the comments we've gotten back. So we need a more full, Ron Andruff in particular, we feel should be on the call to discuss this. The comments that we're getting back to
yeah,
your point.
But my point is we're not letting George know that he's fine to make his points anywhere he wants, but not here. We're trying to solve some other problem.
That's a little bit of a catch-22. We did say all comments welcome. So, you know, that was by design, and we know when you do that, you're basically allowing all comments to be welcome, all points of view. So...
Okay.
But we'll deal with that, I think. We'll vet that out find what's in scope, if you will, or what is pertaining to the topic matter versus those comments that aren't. I think we'll be able to do that.
Okay.
Okay. Any other business? Okay, I would ask that the recording stop and we'll adjourn and we'll meet up again next Wednesday at the same time, 1600 UTC.
Okay. Great. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
See you then. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Thank you, Louise.
You're welcome. I'll just stop the recording.
Thank you. Glenn? Who is... Sorry, I may have got...